My name is Dr. Başakbak. I'm a lecturer in law at the University of Reading School of Law, where I convene intellectual property and data protection law modules. I'm an expert in intellectual property and data protection and privacy law.
Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Back. My first question, please explain from a legal perspective why we have international IP frameworks and how do they influence commercial businesses?
From a legal perspective, the International Intellectual Property Framework exists to harmonize and standardize the protection of intellectual property rights across countries. There are several key factors that drive its establishment and enforcement. The globalization of trade is an important factor because businesses operate increasingly across borders, so a consistent framework is needed to protect the rights of inventors and creators internationally. The international IP system reduces the disparities in national IP laws and incentivizes creators and inventors and businesses to innovate by providing legal assurances that their creations will be protected and rewarded beyond domestic jurisdiction. It also facilitates cooperation between countries and offers predictability. For example, the Paris Convention for the Protection of Patents, Trademarks and Designs, the Berne Convention for the Protection of Copyright, the TRIPS Agreement, which sets minimum standards for IP, balancing IP rights with public interest, and the Madrid Protocol that streamlines trademark registration, all exemplify how the international framework creates a cohesive legal environment, enabling businesses to leverage their intellectual assets globally. So this framework impacts commercial businesses in several ways. Commercial businesses can confidently enter foreign markets and develop new products and services, knowing that their IP rights will be respected. They can monetize their IP assets through licensing and partnerships in multiple jurisdictions, and this creates additional revenue systems. They can also address infringement and piracy internationally, and this reduces financial risks, and the system is really practical because it helps them navigate complex registration processes and compliance requirements prevailing in different jurisdictions.
Thanks very much. My second question, how do organizations and individuals benefit from IP protection from a legal perspective?
IP can create market exclusivity and encourage investments by rewarding innovation. So IP protection provides several benefits. Control and prevention are the most important ones. Organizations and individuals can gain exclusive control over their creations, and they can commercialize or benefit from them. They can control how IP is utilized or distributed, and their IP rights, enabling the licensing, partnerships, and revenue generation through royalties or sales. This is what we mean by control. Organizations and individuals can also prevent others from using their IP without authorization. Legal remedies such as injunctions and damages protect against the unauthorized use of IP rights by third parties. This is prevention. So in summary, IP protection provides a strong legal framework that secures rights, prevents misuse, and offers resource for infringement, enabling organizations and individuals to protect their intellectual assets and optimize opportunities for financial success.
That's really helpful to understand. What legal protection is provided for employees when they have an idea that they want to commercialize?
When employees have ideas that they want to commercialize, there are a couple of things that they need to consider. There are several frameworks that could offer protection, but the extent of protection depends on their employment contract, the nature of the idea, and the laws of the jurisdiction. Let's say an employee has an idea for an invention. Now, how this employee commercializes this idea depends on when and how the idea is developed. If the idea is developed as a part of employee's job or using company resources, IP typically belongs to the employer. which is why employment contracts often include clauses assigning ownership of work-related IP to the company. In contrast, if the idea is developed on personal time without using company resources, IP is usually owned by the employee. Some jurisdictions might provide some other alternatives or some legal options for employees. Another thing that they need to consider is whether there are any confidentiality or non-compete clauses in employment contracts which may restrict the employee's ability to commercialize ideas. This is important because employees must comply with these clauses. Therefore, it's very important that employees get legal advice to review their employment contracts before commercializing their ideas. Ideally, they should seek legal advice before discussing the idea with the employer to understand the potential implications of employment contracts, confidentiality agreements, and IP ownership clauses, and particularly whether the idea falls within the scope of their job duties and whether the use of company equipment, time, or resources could affect IP ownership. Finally, they must definitely seek advice if they plan to leave the company to collaborate with third parties for the idea.
So, what advice could you give to IP creators who are entrepreneurs and are working independently?
Independent entrepreneurs and IP creators should take steps as early as possible to establish ownership and protect their works, whether it involves copyright, patent, or trademark application. Keeping detailed records of the creation process is really a good idea to establish ownership and provide evidence in a litigation scenario. For example, copyright arises automatically as soon as an original work is created, so there is really no need for formal registration to obtain copyright. And yet, registering it can provide additional legal advantages, especially in enforcement, because this creates an official record of ownership and in some countries makes the owners eligible to file a lawsuit for copyright infringements. Also, before sharing their ideas, independent entrepreneurs and IP creators should use non-disclosure agreements to safeguard their IP. For example, only novel innovations can be patented. So this means disclosing an idea publicly before securing patent protection may destroy its novelty, making it ineligible for protection. Here comes the importance of non-disclosure agreements, because these agreements can safeguard inventions while discussing it with third parties, potential investors, and partners. Independent entrepreneurs and IP creators should also research existing IP rights to avoid infringement. This would also be a very proactive approach. For example, if someone wants to register their brand name as a trademark, a simple search in the IP office database could show whether the same name has been registered by someone else as a trademark. Regular monitoring of the market is another good practice. Independent entrepreneurs and IP creators should also monitor the market for unauthorized use of their IP regularly. Finally, they should consult with legal experts to ensure proper enforcement and maximize both local and global IP protection. These experts can also guide them on international protection through mechanisms like the Madrid Protocol for trademarks and the Patent Cooperation Treaty for patents.
And what are the three most common mistakes that you have seen with IP owners who are employees of a company?
The most common mistake by employees is assuming ownership of work-related IP. Employees mistakenly believe that they own IP because they create a work, because they devise an idea. But if the work has been created in the course of an employment, it is usually the employer who holds IP rights. Another mistake is failing to review employment contracts. Many employees neglect to read or fully understand clauses related to IP, confidentiality, and non-compete when attempting to commercialize their ideas. The other mistake is using company resources for personal projects. Now, it makes a significant difference to develop your project outside working hours without using company resources if it is your personal project. Otherwise, you may not own IP, and in the best case scenario, you might only receive some compensation from the employer. Mistakes by independent or self-employed IP owners are, first, failing to protect IP early because this leaves ideas vulnerable to theft or replication before formal protection is in place. Second, disclosing ideas to third parties without proper protection, such as non-disclosure agreements. And third, overlooking IP enforcement. They really need to monitor for infringement or take timely action against unauthorized use of their IP rights.
This has been very interesting. Finally, what impact does IP law have on generative AI? And how can IP creators address challenges posed by generative AI?
Generative AI challenges traditional IP laws because it blurs the ownership and authorship of works, as AI-generated works do not meet requirements for the human element. This raises critical questions such as who owns the AI-generated output? Is it the AI developer? Is it the user who prompts the AI, or neither? Or another question, does using third-party content in training data constitute infringement? There has been an ongoing legal debate about infringement issues, particularly when training datasets include copyrighted material without permission. So one obvious option for IP creators is securing IP without using generative AI to minimize disputes. However, I think it is important and would be forward-thinking to find a solution where creators can actually leverage AI as a tool, acknowledging that Gen AI accelerates content creation and innovation while ensuring robust IP protection to maintain their competitive edge and capitalize on new opportunities. So I would say under current law, creators might not own AI-related work because IP usually traditionally protects human-generated content, but this might change in the future, although it requires a significant change in the law itself, which only time will tell.
Thanks very much for your insights today.